America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us. Are you stressed, frustrated, or annoyed at work? You don't have to be. Soothe your mind and open your heart as Sister Jenna guides you through a peaceful, calming meditation that will prepare you to focus, be present, and most importantly, bring you back to your inner peace.
The entire world watched.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And humanity saw that the sky was not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Hey everybody, it's John Duperin from Project Forgive. How are you doing? You are in the right place for the highest level of conversation to feed your soul. American Meditating with Sister Jenna. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Vint Verga, author of The Soul of All Living Creatures, and I listen to America Meditating Radio.
Are you in need of a tech service company that's going to deliver the best solutions for your business? Then Atronica is your solutions headquarters. Here we specialize in your individual needs to make sure your business shines. For more information, please call 301-417-0070 or visit us at our website at atronica.net. Atronica, where we deliver for you.
The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga meditation, positive thinking, stress-free living, and personal development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org.
He went without food, not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. So, pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Bhayanti Karayanti
love her Sanatan Kaur. That's Vayanti from her beautiful latest CD, The Nam of Light. Om Shanti, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. And I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum. And I hope today's show finds you in a space and in the spirit of going into your truth. You know, once a gentleman was studying at the BK Center in New York and the Brahmakumari Center. He studied for about maybe 6 months or seven. And then he thought, oh my gosh, you all are just doing the same thing. You wake up, you read a piece of paper, you go off to work. I'm kind of heading out, I'm checking out. But, you know, he liked everyone. Anyhow, he comes back like 3-4 years later and he realizes it's the same routine, the same pattern. And his question was, well, you know, has anything changed around here at all? I mean, what are you guys doing that's new? And the instrument at the time that was there says, oh, we're doing the same, but it's the same knowledge, same information, but we've changed. And what was very powerful about the interaction between them both was that she says, truth is truth, brother. But if you keep hearing it, it will change you. We're living in a world that might not be filled with truth anymore, and so we need to go back into our own level of truth because every human being is walking with the impression of truth in them. So there is a concept that a universal truth does exist in the planet because inside of every soul, every one of us, inside of every one of us is the quality of love, purity, and peace. And our disconnect of that quality being constant is because of life and entropy. And I believe that's why, you know, in studies of spirituality or soul searching, everyone is really looking to reconnect to something very powerful because they have what it takes to fix that sense of themselves inside. Stay tuned. We're getting the amazing Neil Strauss on the air. He's a 7-time New York Times best-selling author of The Game, Rules of the Game, Emergency, and Everyone Loves You When You're Dead, and 4 books which he co-authored. And before I get Neil on the line, I'd like to invite all of you to just do what we do best here on the America Meditating Radio, and that is to take you into a space of silence, into a space of divinity, and to experience life as it really is supposed to be experienced. Let's go with off-the-grid meditation for a while and breathe in deeply, relax. In this meditation, I invite you to become aware of the 2 types of consciousness that reside within the soul. Let us choose the consciousness of light over the darkness of past stories, the history that gets into our way. Let us now remember our connection to the supreme energy, the supreme soul, the being of light. For far too long, we have allowed the external forces to dictate our inner force. And at this time, I choose to get off the grid and step inside the heart to be myself. I choose to no longer be under the influence of what the world tells me, what my parents have told me, my spouse, friends, or anyone who has been a negative influence in my life. In this meditation, I stand strong in the original, eternal, imperishable worth of the soul. I, the being of light, the soul of power, I step into the heart and I become a being of love, a being of light and goodness.
Neil,
Welcome back. That was Off the Grid, Into the Heart meditation CD. I hope you felt that as much as I did. I know that it does help to bring things into perspective. You're listening to America Meditating Radio, and today we're welcome to have Neil Strauss, who is a 7-time New York Times bestselling author of The Game, Rules of the Game, Emergency, and Everyone Loves You When You're Dead, and 4 books which he co-authored. He is a former music critic at the New York Times and a long-term writer for Rolling Stone. Now, beyond journalism, Neil has acted in everything from Curb Your Enthusiasm to rock videos by Beck and 30 Seconds to Mars. And he has appeared on The Jimmy Kimmel Show, The View, The Carson Daly Show, dozens of other talk shows. He also hosted his own interview show, The Inner Circle with Neil Strauss, on Sirius XM Radio, and has written television shows for even HBO, much more. We're really happy to welcome Neil to the air. He's got a new book out entitled The Truth, an uncomfortable book about our relationships. And today we welcome Neil. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Sister Jenna. Thank you for having me on. I just love listening to your voice.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, you've been really a busy beaver in making an impact in the world out there, and I find that to be very interesting because through writing, through conversations, or just through sharing, it's interesting how we kind of shift. You might call it the status quo, the mentality of people, but it seems as if your book and your conversations are really making people think at another level. How did you get involved with starting to really raise people's awareness towards a more deeper level of thinking, which I think is what your books are doing?
I hope so. Thank you. And they say that what you enjoyed, if you want to look and find your passion, you often see what you enjoy doing as a child that your parents didn't make you do and your teachers didn't make you do. And for me, it was always writing. And my parents recently sent me my school writings, all the writings I ever did. And in second grade, bizarrely, I wrote, when I grow up, I want to be a writer and own 1 million books. And
wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And then when I was 10 or 11, I wrote my first book and sent it away to agents hoping to get it published, and none of publishers, but nobody ever responded. but I didn't take rejection seriously, fortunately, and kept getting rejected till people were willing to read.
I bet they're crying now.
Yes. I think who would not encourage an 11-year-old in their passion?
Right. You know, there was a friend of mine. His name was, he was amazing. He was from Greece, and he epitomized what Shakespeare would be like if he was alive.
Wow.
And in his library, he had over 7,000 books that he read and reread. And one of his major collections were just all the books of Shakespeare. And I used to think, you know, Stone, you are Shakespeare reincarnated. If you believe in that, you're back. So just to let you know that you could do another amazing play if you wanted to. Because I think, you know, there are stories recorded in us. And as they are emerging, some of us, if we're listening, Neil, I feel like the story flows so beautifully. And I believe many of us are not listening to our own stories. We're so caught up in what somebody else is saying, somebody else is doing, or what somebody shouldn't have done.
I think you really raise a great point. And I think it's one of the challenges of life is to tune into yourself and not get distracted by, as you said, or as it was said in the meditation, history getting in the way, your own history, or the pressures and politics and demands of the, you know, fleeting momentary world around you. Yes.
Right.
It's a challenge. Most people go off their course.
It's true, and it becomes all too easy for us to go off of our course rather than to get on it. You know, your best-selling book, The Game, was about your rise from a shy, lonely guy. You could barely speak to a lady. You know, now it's become one of the world's most famous pickup artist book. I mean, you are one of the most famous pickup artists now, I think. Now in your new book, The Truth, you share your story of how you turned your life around. You became like you were forced to be honest with you. And you started to go deeper into understanding yourself. What, though, inspired you to write such a book, Neil? And how did it impact you and your perspective on healing trauma?
Sure, great. And I think The game's a funny book. It was, and how it led to the truth is interesting, because to me the goal of the game wasn't to be a pickup artist, as you put it, but really to sort of the book's really about disconnection and trying to understand connection in different ways. And I think I have a strange writing career, which I'll try to explain, which is I never write a book thinking here's a great book idea, or I have an idea for a book and hopefully people will read it and I pitch it to a publisher. What usually happens is, and it's a great profession to have, is I reach a challenge or a problem in my own life where I get stuck. And in the truth, that was just in relationships and intimacy and real connection with other people. And what happens is I start figuring out, how can I solve this problem? What's holding me back from a healthy, successful, happy relationship? And why is this not happening? And so as I start to solve the problem and I hit upon either solutions or the journey becomes interesting enough to share, it then becomes a book. And the great thing about it becoming a book is I can then devote all my resources to, you know, solving the problem and for myself, and then I can share the book and hopefully solve it for others as well. So most of my books are like that, and usually built around trying to learn the real challenges of life and get to a place of happiness. So with the truth, even if the book never came out, it would have just been a really great outcome, because I really went on a very uncomfortable journey to understand why was I choosing relationships that weren't healthy for me, and mm-hmm. why, when somebody really loved me, did I experience love as neediness and start to withdraw and get scared and terrified? All those questions, and was able to answer, why do we choose people who aren't available to love and yet love them and can't get that requited, fulfilled, and it leads to frustration instead of love? All those questions.
Well, that's a great question, so Neil, because it's what everybody grapples with on a day-to-day basis, whether they're being honest with themselves or not. They are struggling with some of those questions. You take on the greatest challenge of relationships in the book. What do you think is the key to better relationships and definitely amplifying greater happiness in our awareness? Because everyone's struggling with that today.
Yeah, I think, and this is very funny because it wasn't what I thought the answer would be, but the biggest number one thing I can say is very, very deep self-awareness on the deepest level possible. And I think the biggest takeaway of the book, and I'll sort of explain it a little bit further, the biggest takeaway was that a relationship is not as much about the other person as I thought. I thought a relationship was about finding the right person, and eventually I would find the right person, and then it would magically work. And I didn't realize it was about becoming the right person. That if I changed and healed myself and my own wounding, that not only would I attract a healthier type of person automatically, but I would be healthy in that relationship. So as an example, that I'm in a relationship, I'm in a wonderful marriage with the same person who I had a horrible relationship with before, and felt resentful in the relationship, and just saw everything as oppressive and saw them as in a sort of negative viewpoint. And all that really shifted, they didn't have to change. All that shifted was the way I saw them. And there's a great quote, a Huna quote, that, you know, the world is what you think it is. And often it's our beliefs that cause, you know, us to see someone the way they are. And I think as long as someone's not being physically or emotionally abusive, it's your responsibility to, you know, let go of control in your relationship, let go of trying to change someone, let go of trying to mold someone into the person that fits your ideal fantasy. There's a great Joseph Campbell quote who says, people after... You know, you date someone for you're in a relationship for 3 to 6 to 9 months at first. It begins, and there's that projection phase. You see them as the kind of person who's going to fill the empty space in your heart. And then after a while, they're not the person you thought they were. And you start to see maybe their flaws and their imperfections. And you say, I was disillusioned. I thought you were like this, but you're really like this. And it leads to what other relationship writers call the power struggle in a relationship. And Joseph Campbell says, how great is it? You should be disillusioned. Let go of your illusions and see someone as they are. And that's when the relationship really begins.
And that is so true. And what you're saying in this conversation, Neil, I'm hearing more and more as I talk to a lot of incredible minds around the country and the world, that we are all coming to a much deeper sense that the relationship needing repair first is the one with the self. And then when we do enter into a relationship with another, there's more power to accommodate. There's more power to accept. There's more of this power to trust.
Yes, that's exactly it. And there's a great quote by a Jungian therapist named James Hollis. And I don't know if I quite remember the quote, but he really said that the journey to fix the relationship is, I'm going to try to find this quote while we're speaking. We'll continue and I'll come back to this quote. I'll leave it as a cliffhanger. I don't want to ruin this fantastic quote.
Well, what I was going to actually do, I wanted to ask you about your newest book entitled The Truth, which was an uncomfortable book about relationships. And if you could give our listeners like a sneak preview as to what we could expect, because it has a great title.
Sure. I think it's a journey. It's a journey to, it's interesting, it's a journey to healing trauma, to understanding and repairing relationships, to dealing with sometimes the forces that we don't discuss, the desire, temptation, truth, honesty. It's also, in a way, a sort of shift in they say, and I think if you understand this, that we have different levels of where we're at, and the outside is the environment that affect us and form, shape who we are, and the outside is environment and behavior, and people think, if I change my environment or I change my behavior, I'll change, and at the deepest level is spirituality. And if that shifts, everything shifts. So in a way, it's also a spiritual journey.
Wow, I love that. Now, where can our listeners find copies of the book if they're interested?
Hopefully everywhere, but Barnes & Noble, Amazon, any bookstore. It's you can't miss it. It looks like a white Bible. So it's sort of a Bible for self-healing.
Beautiful. Are there any book tours up in the making?
I finished the book tour, but I'm always speaking or talking, and I love more than anything working when I usually do the book tours now. I'm usually just talking to couples and individuals about their problems and pointing out correcting distorted thinking and working with people. So there's nothing planned, but on my website, which is just my name, neilstrauss.com, it's always announced.
Beautiful, Neil. Please, if you ever come to Washington, D.C., I want you to do something at the Meditation Museum. I think the community there would love the conversation, because relationships, I always believe, they'll either take you up or they become real precursors to teach you what you're missing, because it can definitely make you feel like you're doing the worst ever. And it really isn't that. It's just an opportunity, no?
It's an opportunity. It's absolutely an opportunity. And but the key, I think the key is, and I think the quote I was looking for earlier was that the best thing we can do for our relationships with others is to render our relationships with ourselves more conscious. And so you can, the real lesson is that if you don't learn it or change or transform, you often keep meeting the same person in different forms, and each relationship becomes very similar. And what I think the key is, it defines, like you said, it can be uplifting and transforming, or it can take one down. And often the reason this happens is looking at your first experience of love with your parents or your caregivers growing up, and this often sets a template that determines that relationship. And I think one of the biggest lessons of the book was looking at the patterns, that if somebody tells me their relationship pattern, myself mm-hmm. or anyone else can figure out exactly how they were raised and what their relationship with that parent of the same sex they're attracted to was like. and it's uncanny and unbelievable.
I bet it is. Neil Strauss, thank you so much for your writings and your, you know, what I picked up from you in our conversation is that you're just this really sweet, sensitive man, and you're aware that a relationship will work if Neil is okay with himself, and that you are very open and willing to bring the best of you into any union that you choose to get into, and I appreciate feeling that energy from you.
Thank you. And the one thing I want to add, because I think it's so important, and I was trying to think, how can I get into this in a very simple way, which is, in addition to that, there's also things of yourself of which you are not aware. The parent of the sex you're attracted to was present or overwhelming, and this could also set up a template. So to not just be aware of who you are now, be aware of who you were in those first 17 years as the architecture of your brain and heart were being sort of programmed for this life, and really being able to look at yourself objectively and fearlessly is, to me, where it all happens. happens.
Beautiful. Neil Strauss, thank you so much for joining us on the air. And please remember us when you come into the nation's capital.
Okay, I look forward to it. Thank you, Sister Jenna. And thank you for all you
Take good care. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. How beautiful. You know, just like what Neil was saying, if you really look at the whole notion of having a relationship with yourself or taking care of just your own being, then you can actually bring the ingredients and the things that are needed to make relationships healthy and to make relationships work. So please visit Neil at neilstrauss.com for more information. And I really enjoyed our conversation with Neil. We're going to turn the lines now to our wonderful, incomparable, most amazing, adorable, and powerful Sister Gita.
Good day and thanks for your inspiration. Om Shanti. I am selecting from the book authored by Daddy Janki, who is known to have the most powerful, one of the most powerful mind in the world. Feeling Great is a title, and I have selected Authentic Living, Curating a Better Self. It reads thus, let's do more house cleaning. Imagine how much better you would feel if you replaced bad habits with a deeper spiritual connection. You would actually feel great. Rushing. Do you slow down enough to give others the time they deserve from you? Or does your mind and your body rush off to do other things? When we rush through our relationships with others, we miss the opportunity to connect with them and show them the respect they deserve. Authentic living, number two, not listening. Do you really listen when others speak to you? Do you listen to yourself? Are you attentive to them when others speak to you? Are you attentive? Or do your thoughts wander off while they are talking? Learn to stop and pay attention to others when they are speaking to you. I promise them I will. They will feel valued and you will benefit from truly hearing what they have to say. Number three, one-upmanship. Many people don't even realize they do this, but others do. When someone tells you about an accomplishment or an achievement, good or bad, do you find yourself telling them about a bigger event from your own life? Learn to applaud others and encourage them. When your spirit is living honestly, you will find that you have nothing to prove. Everything you need to achieve, fulfillment is within you. When you can do that, you will have developed control over your ego and the need to brag or steal the spotlight evaporate. I like it. Ways to start feeling great, letting go, and laughter. Om Shanti, have a great day feeling great.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful as usual, Sister Gita. My friends, thank you for joining the America Meditating Radio Show. We are what we are because of your love and kindness and your support. And we will invite you to just take 30 seconds and do the needful thing. If these are really special for you, if some of these conversations are helping you, why don't you just subscribe to our radio show and follow it? It's on the America Meditating Blog Talk site. And by downloading the Pause for Peace app, you can visit as many of the shows and listen to them as often as you can. I think it's just going to be such a meaningful conversation as we go through the rest of the year. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. We are here to love each other the same. And so let's do that. I'm going to end today's show with you by bliss. Take care.
Like the mist, like the clouds in the sky, like a smile.
heard?